You're listening to DraftKings Network. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
My strongest material comes from real life.
Real life?
Like, for instance, today I was driving in a car. Mm-hmm. You were kind enough to bring a car to bring this old chunk of coal here to the studio.
We send cars for our guests, yes.
Yeah, so I got in it, and I get material that way. So my driver.
What do you mean? How do you get material that way? You get in the car, and what happens?
My driver tells me a joke.
The driver we sent to pick you up told you a joke.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell it now on the show.
Yeah, that's how I get a lot of my material.
Okay. Why don't we just have him on next time?
That guy. No, wait till you hear me do it. So the guy, he goes, I'll be the guy.
Okay.
A moth goes into a podiatrist's office.
A moth goes into a podiatrist's office.
Right? You are correct. A moth goes into a podiatrist's office, mm-hmm. And the podiatrist's office says, "What's the problem?" And the moth says, "What's the problem? Where do I begin, man?" He goes, "I go to work for Gregory Olenevich, and all day long I work." Honestly, Doc, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I don't even know if Gregory Olenevich knows. He only knows that he has power over me, and that seems to bring him happiness. But I don't know. I wake up in a malaise, and I walk here and there. And the podiatrist says, "Oh, yeah?" And the moth goes, "Yes." And he goes, "At night, I sometimes wake up, and I turn to some old lady in my bed that's on my arm, a lady that I once loved, Doc. I don't know where to turn to. My youngest, Alexandria, she fell in the cold of last year. Mm-hmm. The cold took her down as it did many of us. And my other boy, and this is the hardest pill to swallow, Doc, my other boy, Gregorio Ivanilidovich. I no longer love him. As much as it pains me to say, when I look in his eyes, all I see is the same cowardice that I catch when I take a glimpse of my own face in the mirror. If only the cowardice was stronger, then perhaps I could bring myself to reach over to that cocked and loaded gun that lays on the bedside behind me. And in this hellish facade, once
how long a drive was this? Do you live in the valley? Where do you live? Please, sorry.
He says, Doc, sometimes I feel like a spider, even though I'm a moth, just barely hanging on to my web with an everlasting fire underneath me. I'm not feeling good. And so the doctor says, Moth, man, you're troubled. But you should be seeing a psychiatrist. Why on earth did you come here? And then the moth said, because the light was on.
That's an eternity on television. That is so long on television. Late Night with Conan O'Brien. It takes you say even Conan was getting uncomfortable because he's like, all right, Norm's being maximum norm here, and this joke's not going to come with an ending until I'm also uncomfortable. So good, man. Really good. Something made me sad, Stugatz, that I read about today as I segue here from laughing and the grief.
Something other than the death of Norm MacDonald.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
That is correct. Well, I was saying, segueing from the grief that one feels when someone you don't really know but kind of feel like you know or made you laugh, and so you've developed a relationship with that person, and that person is now gone. Yeah. I'm imagining that you're a little bit sad today that an institution in Miami is dying. A sports institution in Miami is going to be gone November 28th. They're getting rid of Hi-Li, a weird sport that you will not find all over the country, an international sport that flourished at one time in South Florida. And 25 years after that, we tried to resurrect Dania Hi-Li as a challenge. We tried to take on the greatest of challenges because these frontons were largely empty warehouses. They smelled like leprosy. And there was one room in there that we still talk about today because it was smoke. It'll be smoky. The smoking room will be smoky 20 years after they've demolished that place. It'll still be there giving cancer to anybody who walks in.
But I remember you telling me there was a time early 80s, maybe, where Dania Hi-Li was the place to be, where Marino was hanging out there, where Shula was hanging out
Marino,
there.
Not Marino, but what you're looking at is 86, all we had was Dolphins and Hurricanes. We didn't have any of the other sports. We were not a major league town. We were placed spring training, visited. That's when we became a little major league. But even UM football, the time you're talking about is really late 70s. All that there was Dolphins. You're talking late 70s, earliest of 80s. So it's not Marino who's going to be there because the place started dying soon thereafter. But it was an international thing featured in Miami Vice, the television show, a strange sport that weirdly was here in like Connecticut in the United States, imported in internationally.
It's the world's fastest game.
It imported from Spain and was a relic, really. Like, this is a super nostalgic place for us because for a moment in time, we did resurrect it. We had big thousands of people nights there playing poker with us.
I'd venture to say that Dania Hi-Li would have closed a lot sooner were not for the Dan Le Batard Show events.
We had a lot of people who would come out
afloat
to these warehouses.
Marty Fleischman owes us a debt of gratitude.
Oh, Marty Fleischman, what a blast from the past.
Beers were a dollar on those nights for those tournaments. I don't think we were, you know, saving them financially.
Oh man, it was when you stepped into Dania Hi-Li, you saw the amount of seats that they had. It was overflowing. I took a private tour of Dania Hi-Li. I went up to the balcony, and that stuff hadn't been touched since the mid 80s. I crawled over so many dead rats, you'd have no idea, but it was untouched.
It is hard to explain to the people listening to this how antiquated a thing this was. It stayed in the 70s. It was a giant warehouse. And during its popular time, people would go and have dinner there. And they'd sit up like you would at a play and watch the players and gamble.
I only saw it in one form at the, you know, in the like 15 years ago. Oh. And I refused to believe people were going there to dine.
Oh, Toto was a beast that day that we went. It was kind of rigged.
The story that involves...
Spoiler alert, I like kind of rig sometimes.
Don Shula, because there is a story that involves Don Shula. In Hi-Li, there are a couple of noises or plays that have specific names. And one of them is Chick Chack when it hits the back wall and just dies. And one of the others that the entire crowd, I want you to imagine thousands of people, thousands, because I believe Dania Highly, didn't it? How many did that house, Mike? It was more than 10,000 people once upon a time, right?
Yeah, there were, if that were a concert venue, it'd be one of the largest indoor concert venues in South Florida, excluding the arenas. It could be a, it could have been turned into an awesome concert hall, honestly.
It is a giant space with a lot of seats. But the other thing that they would chant on certain plays or points was C-H-U-L-A. And when Don Shula walked in and heard them chanting Chula, he started waving at them and feeling very heroic. And these were people who didn't speak English. They had no idea who he was, but Don Chula is walking around with his wife, waving at everybody like a prom queen. And
in
you're hearing,
South Florida accent.
Estúpido, siéntate!
A chula is when the ball gets pinned in the corner, right? That or it's a girl I dated from Hialeah.
Can you get me the sound, please, of one of the things that we did there? Because we wheeled out Stugatz on a gurney. This is the this is some of the oldest sound we have here. This is in the Fronton, echoing cavernous space.
We made a case to Marty Fleischman that we could save Dania Highly, that we could pack Dania Highly. And so we decided to do a free event for Dania Highly just to prove our point.
If you're running the show at Dania Highly, your name almost has to be Marty Fleischman. Yeah.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. If you're running the show at Dania Highly, does your name have to be Marty Fleischman? We got a lot of people out there because Stugatz had a bet with Luther Campbell about how many games Miami would or wouldn't win that year. And the punishment, I don't remember what Luke would have to do. Was the punishment the same for the both of you? Would he have had to do what you ended up having to do because you lost the bet?
I don't remember. Mike, do you remember what?
I think it was a two-way bet. And you originally the bet was shaving the head,
right?
Which you ended up doing on this show a couple of times.
I have.
I feel. But you settled on, this was after the 40-year-old virgin came out. You settled on a chest waxing where we would wheel you out in a gurney.
Kelly Clarkson!
You had the Hannibal Lecter mask on, and Luther Campbell and Dan would wax your chest.
Yeah. But Dan wasn't part of the bet. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Exactly. He stayed out of it. Yeah. Now,
well, no, he didn't.
He took an active role in your punishment, but it was an over-under on wins, and the Canes somehow hit the over. This was a year that they started the season with FSU, Oklahoma, and Virginia Tech.
I believe they also, at one point here, lose a bowl game that you will hear about here, as we want you to just listen to the sound of, this is me. I think Stugatz has everything he was saying right. I did not participate in the bet. There were no consequences for me.
You love doing this, including me in bets that I have nothing to do with. I mean, you did it with Golic a couple of years ago.
I did it with our careers, Stugatz. I did it with everything we've done around here. It's a bet.
You cashed in that bet.
I'm good with that bet.
It's been okay for everybody involved. So here is the sound of me with, I do remember remorse here. It was
it
was not delight here that I tore with Brazilian wax a chunk of hair off of Stugatz's chest.
Emerald ball! Emerald ball! You lost the emerald ball!
He sounds like his mouth is Novocaine. Like, it's not. He's got a Hannibal Lecter mask on, but I want you to hear two sounds specifically. One, the incredible tear of clearly I got a good chunk of hair. But then, right before he goes to his pre-rehearsed taunt of the crowd, I want you to hear the pain arrive at Stugatz's brain.
Emerald ball! Emerald ball! You lost the emerald ball!
Because you have that second window there where you're thinking, hey, that didn't hurt that much. And then it hurts.
I just want you to play the first two sounds back to back because that's music right there where Stugatz is. He wants to get to the taunt, but he gives us the little. It's the most honest thing Stugatz has ever said where it's like, oh, that one got me.
Right there. That's the most honest I've ever been. Right there.
Get in there. Get in there.
the only time, Dan's, believe me.
You know how there's like when you stub your toe, there's that split second it takes? That happens in this sound.
The audience reacted before I did.
Yeah, it takes you a second and a half to get your taunt up because of how much it's sung.
Emerald Ball! Emerald Ball! You lost the Emerald Ball!
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Listen, it could be Julius Randle's building.
How about that?
The Mecca.
Or it's Julius. The Mecca.
Stugatz.
Steve Martin was a prop comic.
You said that?
I said it 2 seconds earlier than you.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
I want to get to a handful of football things in a second, but I also wanted to clean something up for you as we expand around here and you wonder where to get us and how to get us, and we make announcements about podcasts that are coming soon. I want you to understand something if you're a supporter of the things that we do around here, and we appreciate your patience for the last 6 or 7 months, but we're going to be getting you a lot more stuff, much of it menu items, but a lot more show. Just our show, you're going to get more of it, and you're going to be able to have access to our show's sensibilities on Saturday night at midnight when the Full Cast podcast recaps the college football games, and they're a part of our universe now. On Sundays after football, in that hour between 7 and 8:30 that we have, we're going to be there for you doing NFL recaps, and then we're going to try as well to be churning this out every day for you, show. So know that that's on the way. Before we get to football stuff here, because football is king in the sports realm, I wanted to get to two more things, Dugatz, that I wanted to ask you about. Mike Richards, that snake, he was on Jeopardy hosting last night.
Right.
He has lost his executive producer job. He has lost his hosting job. He was the guy who was the talent hunter who became a persona non grata, shamed everything. They tried to keep him somehow. His executive producer had to get rid of him. And after all that scandal, he pops up on your television again last night as the host.
How'd that happen?
Taped episodes that assuming they didn't discard. And I ask you this question. Should they have discarded it? The controversy was gone. Now, I'm guessing they have to try and honor the contestants. I'm guessing they have
Of course they do.
But do they? I would have paid any amount of money to not have Mike Richards. If I'm a Jeopardy executive, Mike Richards is never showing up again. Contestants, how much I got to give you to get the hell out of here so I never have to have Mike Richards on my television again?
Well, you bring those contestants back. If you're going to do that, you bring them back with a new host. That's the only way to do it.
You give them whatever they want so that Mike Richards doesn't make people talk about this again last night. You want this in your rearview mirror. Am I wrong about this?
If you're a Jeopardy contestant, I think you probably go on the show not just for money, but to play the game.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot to have to pay all those people off.
Whoever won gets screwed in that spot.
Yeah, right. There's going to be continuity issues.
Ooh. Or you fake the whole thing and you say you need to guess the wrong answer again. But the new host this week, Kermit the Frog, because he's not going to have any controversies.
Mm-hmm. We're just spitballing here.
If you have to do that, just blur out that snake Mike Richards. Just blur him out. Have a voiceover.
You
dub
can't
it or
blur
something.
Him out.
No, no.
What
Keep
are you
the
doing?
Conversation going in a real Zion Nike shoe thing. This is good for Jeopardy.
I like the idea of dubbing it. Who do you dub it with, though?
This is good for Jeopardy.
Oh, an episode. We're talking
awesome
about
for
it.
Jeopardy. Yeah. Are you kidding me? A controversy surrounding one of the more innocuous television shows in history?
I think you pixelate his face and then change his voice. So he sounds like this.
I'm
all
with
the
you.
Questions get asked like this.
Just whatever. Throw the episodes away.
Slow-mo Lorne Michaels?
If you need the continuity of the contestants and being fair to them, just X him out and make it funny.
Yeah. I'm surprised we haven't gone the route yet of creating like AI Alex Trebek.
Wow. Oh, wow.
You should have held that idea. We could have sold that.
You could have done it last night.
Mm-hmm.
You could have done that last night. In honor, we bring back from the beyond. You want your controversy? We bring back from the beyond the likeness of Trebek to rescue this disgraced game show that doesn't actually want to be edgy with controversy.
We're going to stay away from the controversy and honor today's sensibilities. Everyone, please welcome hologram Wink Martindale.
No, you got to be careful with Wink's politics, I think.
Yes, you do.
I think he's like Chuck Woolery. He's another one of these guys.
Did he kiss contestants?
No, that was Richard Dawson.
Okay, yes. Bring him back too.
Is Wink Martindale?
Do holograms have to do compliance?
Why can't they edit all of this? Why can't they just get a new host to ask all the questions and then just do cuts where you know? Just,
oh yeah, it's so easy. Yeah.
They tape 3 weeks out of the year.
This I did it with a Ron McGill interview once. It's not that hard.
What?
You did it with audio.
What?
Adnan might have interviewed Ron McGill like the first week I was doing the podcast, and I lost all of Ron McGill's audio, so I had to get Ron McGill to redo the whole interview. Maybe.
God.
That might have happened.
God. Perhaps.
Feel for you. That was the
feel
first
for
week.
Ron.
It was bad. I was so nervous.
For Adnan.
Cinephile. Get it wherever you get your podcast.
You didn't have to admit to that one. No one knew. No one knew.
That's how great of an editor I am.
Why didn't you at least say it was like a few years ago and just lie about what show it was on?
I'm an honest guy. Open book.
I think this is good for you.
Yeah. No one noticed.
Cinephile. Edgy cinephile has its own controversy. Chris
See you
Cody.
In January.
Frank Caliendo this week and Mike Ryan.
Frank Caliendo and Mike Ryan.
Nice.
Mike's talking Face Off.
I didn't even do a refresher. I've seen that movie so many times. It was like I saw it last night. Let's go. What do you want to talk about? Bye, bro.
There's only like a couple of movies I could do it without a refresher. Like Tango and Cash was one of them. I went on that. Well, no, that's the other podcast.
Do you know the name of it or no? You don't know the name of it?
Cinephobe. Amin's podcast. And I didn't have to rewatch Tango and Cash. I just know it. So Point Break would be another for me.
Should I watch Tango and Cash? Because yes. I have not. And I saw that it was available somewhere. And I was like, should I do this? Because I feel like the answer is no. Like, I feel like I will not enjoy that movie.
It is a special kind of empty awful. And I think you might actually enjoy it. Maybe we should have you review it around here to see if the movie, because he only cites these same three movies from the same era. It's Cobra, it's Tango. They're all Stallone.
Yeah.
It's Cobra, it's Tango and Cash, and it's Rocky.
Yeah, Point Break is not a Stallone movie. It's Patrick Swayze. Yeah. And Roadhouse is another, by the way. Oh, is that good?
Doesn't Swayze tear out a trachea in that film?
Yes, he does.
Oh, man.
Learn from the great Sam Elliott.
Jack Palance is tremendous in Tango and Cash.
His finest role.
Jack Palance is great in pretty much everything. Outside of that one time that he played Fidel Castro in a movie.
What is the name of the actor in Roadhouse? And we'll get to football in a second. But is it, it's Ben something. Ben Azir, Ben, I'm going to draw a blank on this.
Gazzara?
Okay, Ben Gazzara. Boog Shambi, our friend, thank you, Jessica. Boog Shambi, our friend, one time saw Ben Gazzara in the streets of New York. And he yelled, hey, Ben Gazzara, who apparently has a resume, perhaps of a thespian beyond Roadhouse. Hey, Ben Gazzara. Love Gen Roadhouse. Ben Gazzara was so excited to be recognized, and then what he got was Love Gen Roadhouse, which is not in any way a compliment. Mike, what are you showing us on your phone there? Is that Jack Palance playing Shay?
No, that's Jack Palance playing Fidel in 1969's Che. This was back in the time of Hollywood where if you were ethnic, you couldn't actually play an ethnic character. We'd get Jack Palance.
It's so good. It is.
I remember
good.
Even as a little kid, I was like, Lawrence of Arabia, what?
Cody, why have you fallen in love with Arlovsky?
Oh, man. He did something yesterday. Not only is he just really great at breaking down. He convinced me yesterday. He turned me on the Tua Herbert thing because he thinks Herbert and Keenan Allen are going to be the best combo. And he just broke down a couple plays. He's just excellent. But that's not why I want to talk about him. He also unveiled yesterday that he has multiple avenues of talent. It's not just breaking down football. He also does a good fake dog. He can bark. I want to play it for you, and then we're going to go around the room and see who can bark the best.
Okay, today I learned Dan has an unbelievable skill. It's not giving takes. It's not playing football.
Thanks so much.
It is his ability to bark like a dog.
You want to hear it?
Yes, of course.
That's a dog.
That's really good.
It's a dog.
It's excellent work by Dan Orlovsky.
Now, Jessica was workshopping hers a little earlier. We probably don't want to lead with her.
Was anyone else workshopping a good one?
Mike?
Man, you're putting me on the spot. I haven't.
You're a limited fake guy, though.
It's tough to follow. I have a limited fake dog.
Okay, but this was talked about, but not actually workshopped. Nobody had anything.
I have one, but I shouldn't go first.
Yeah, we shouldn't lead with Jess.
I'll do one. Ready?
Ooh, not bad.
All right, let me go.
Tiny dog.
Small dog. I thought Billy was going to lean in with a small dog. This is vulnerable.
Man, everyone's has been so good. I'm afraid to go.
I don't want to go.
Stugatz, let's go. Get in here.
Is it too late to give a content warning for people listening with dogs in the car or something?
Probably this could be a trigger.
I'm sorry if you have a dog.
You should probably say it in dog. Yeah,
you're probably
them.
Overestimating your ability to make a dog think that you're an actual dog.
My dog loves the car, though. My dog wants to live in the
all,
car.
I doubt that your dog wants to live in the car.
No, I'm pretty certain my dog wants to live in a car.
All dogs love the car.
Yeah.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitar Show. Do all dogs love the car? Are you ready, Jessica? Do you want to give the people anything?
What? It's DMX doing a dog. Come on!
It's not a very good
science memory. To me! Science to somebody! Science! Have a The sock! The air belts! Stay low! Say to somebody!
Just end it there, and we'll give them 10 more minutes.
All right, Miami.
That's where I was going to go. All right, Miami.
Cornelder.
Cornelder.
My,
So why don't you go, Lenny. Doing air around the clock.
My Joe Zagacki, I just realized, is very close to my limited fake Gary Michael Capetta, which was a WCW announcer from the early 90s. Flying Brian! It's just a little lower. Flying Brian! Flying Brian! Cornelder! Yeah, Cornelder, Andy Zuzu! Williamson Cadillac, Andy Zuzu!
Cornelder's your trigger word, man.
Cornelder! That's my do re mi. Cornelder! Sneakers! All right, how long was that?
10 minutes.
10 minutes? I need another 10 minutes, I think.
Yeah, let's...
My dog wants to live in the car.
He does. I mean, listen, I've never had a conversation with Finney about it, but I'm pretty certain.
It's just a classic Stugatz move where it's like, my dog likes the car, so I think my dog wants to live in the car.
My dog sprints to the car, man.
Did you guys see the picture of my dog stoned in the car?
Yeah.
I posted it on Instagram. Stugatz will send it to you.
Was on a CBD road, wasn't it?
She was so high. It's the funniest picture I've ever seen of my dog.
Mike, is this the fifth consecutive year this has been a topic on First Take?
What?
Zeke Elliott concern.
Play
in a week.
That's Get Up.
Oh, Get Up. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Wow, my bad. But fifth consecutive year they've had that discussion somewhere on ESPN.
I just look at Ezekiel Elliott's stomach, and that's how I know whether or not he's going to be any good.
Mm-hmm. If it's flat, good.
Hey,
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Don Lebatard.
Is it Tuesday?
Yeah.
Is this going to run on Tuesday? It better. Why would you not interview me and then not run it on the same day? Mm-hmm. That's stupid. Yeah.
Nonsensical. You're right.
Stugatz.
Why are you leaving?
Why am I even doing this interview? I should be like on a live program. What the You tricked me. You, Dan Lebatard.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We've got a legitimate tongue-chewing conflict for Stugatz. Stugatz, across the years, is always yelling, more football, give me more football. Applauds Roger Goodell when every scandal he's got, the solution is more football. So they have given Stugatz 17 games of football this year. Mm-hmm. But he came in whimpering today because some of the math is changing on him, and he doesn't know if a team starts 0-3 or 0-4 if they're out of it. He's confused about where the must-win games are.
Right.
They've changed the numbers on him, and he doesn't know how important these games are when they represent 1/17 of the schedule instead of 1/16 of the schedule, and he seems legitimately baffled.
I am. I mean, 0-4 might be the new 0-3. They say if you go 0-3 in a 16-game season, you're not making the playoffs. But perhaps in a 17-game season, you can make the playoffs. So now 0-4 is like the new benchmark of not making the playoffs. I'm just trying to figure out when I could say a game is a must-win. That's really what I'm trying. And I'm confused. This whole thing, one game, one extra week has thrown everything off, man.
I think we can all agree that that's the most important thing. When can Stugatz start declaring games are must-win?
Well, what's ever stopped him before on must wins? I don't even know what his math is on this. Is there any other place that's making an appearance other than between 0-3 and 0-4?
It's more of a gut feeling, but it was based on a 16-game schedule. And now that we have a 17-game schedule, I'm not feeling the same things that I felt in all the other week twos before this year. I'm just not feeling them. Like, I don't feel the need to say must win in week two because they have 15 more games after this. 15!
But when they had 14, you were willing to say
must win. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Stugatz is right because statistically, after the first like 3 or 4 weeks, everyone likes to say, well, a team that's gone 0-3 has never made the playoffs, or a team that's gone 0-4 has only made it once. Now, we don't really know what's going to happen because there's that extra week.
Right.
So the math changes, yep. And I'm not good at math. No.
Any other places, Stugatz, where you're worried about the 17-game schedule throwing off your habits, throwing off what it is that you know what to say into a microphone beyond the must-win?
Preseason and making predictions.
Yeah.
Oh, that team's 8-8.
Yeah.
Now I don't have a .500 record to go to.
8-8-1.
They should have thought about me.
8-8-1, yes.
I didn't get into sports to do math.
Stugatz spent all of last season telling us how important one of the ties would be.
The Eagles tie, yeah.
And it didn't end up being important, I don't think, in any way, did it?
No. The Eagles didn't make the playoffs. Doug Peterson lost his job.
Came close to mattering.
You spent the whole season obsessed
with
a single tie.
It was close.
And now we're at 17 games. And yes, 8-8-1 gets us there. With things that you're looking for this weekend, and we're going to continue over the remainder of the week, the bucket of death, the grid of death. We've got costumes to wear. We've got failures. We talked about how shocking the whole Aaron Rodgers thing was. I don't believe any of us have any explanations for what we saw other than the Saints are really good at defense, but that still looked super weird.
I saw a play in which there was just no blocking for Aaron Rodgers. Now, I didn't watch this game because I was at another one, but he still threw an absolute dime. So I don't think you can say he was tanking. He threw one of the nicest passes I've ever seen.
There's an explanation, I'm sure, whether it's offensive line or something else. It's not that he got bad in the last 6 months.
It's also never that defense is really, really good, as you pointed out earlier. Like, the defense is really good. Still, I've seen Aaron carve up great defenses before.
Is Cam Jordan yet one of these unblockable guys? Does he count in the growing pantheon of these,
he's
total freaks that you simply can't block coming around the edge?
He's been like a tier two guy for a long time, and he's surrounded by a very good defense. We still have to wrap our brains around it because Aaron Rodgers is at that age where historically you're supposed to start sliding. I think we can all agree, as great as Aaron Rodgers was last year, MVP, still not the guy maybe was 4 years ago, where it's just like, holy cow, I've never seen anything like this.
The drop's not going to be that kind of precipitous.
No, but we've gotten spoiled. We've gotten spoiled with Tom Brady thinking that if you're the best, you're supposed to age that way.
Everyone needs to relax. All right. He didn't play any of the preseason. I think I saw a stat. A lot of the quarterbacks that didn't play any of the preseason didn't play well in week one. R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
That's his famous quote, but it's the MVP of the league, and it was a giant turd. The most surprising of the giant turds on Sunday.
But if we all just relax, what are we going to talk about on the radio?
Right. I still think he tanked, Dan. I really do.
I mean, well, you can do it that way.
Very that's minor way. Tank.
You ask.
You can't do it over the top.
He's like a genie of he's a piano bar and a genie. Listen, ask Jessica, and well, the option's still available to us of you could just accuse him of giant scandalous cheating.
The guy had 5 interceptions last year, the entire season. He had 2 in the first game. He is on track for 34, 17 games.
The numbers are totally different now.
It's crazy.
On the other side of the ball, Jameis Winston, I thought that the breakdown of the stats that we gave earlier, but this was on the other end of the spectrum, as Ryan Fitzpatrick goes out against Jameis Winston could not start last year. Jameis Winston, in a league that Aaron Rodgers changed because you do not turn the ball over, he threw for whatever it was, 4,000, 5,000 yards, ton of yards, but the difference between Tampa Bay being a champion and being a team that didn't make the playoffs was all of Jameis Winston's turnovers and recklessness.
Mm-hmm. And that defense got really, really good.
But yes, it was a good defense.
Part, right.
It was a good defense.
Yes.
And Jameis Winston got benched, couldn't get a starting job, sits for an entire year, and then comes out and is game manager guy who throws a whole bunch of touchdowns, doesn't have to do a lot offensively because he keeps getting the ball back because it's the worst game we've ever seen Aaron Rodgers and the Packers play. But what do you expect from Jameis Winston? Like, are we going to, I don't know how to do some of this because of what happened last year with Josh Allen. It was so confusing to me to see Josh Allen eliminate turnovers, even though he was still reckless and flippant with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Sean Payton can coach the reckless and the turnovers out of Jameis Winston?
I do. Here's why. Like, you talk about all these quarterback whisperers. It was Adam Gase for a while.
But Bruce Arians couldn't. And Sean, what we're saying is Arians could not, but Sean Payton can.
But maybe Sean Payton is the quarterback whisperer. Payton found Tony Romo. He made Breeze, turned Breeze, although Breeze was pretty good already, into an elite Hall of Fame quarterback, Taysom Hill, and now he's doing it with Jameis Winston. So I think if there's anyone who could do it, it would be Sean Payton.
You're saying Sean Payton is appreciably better at something quarterback-related that Bruce Arians does not have any access to. That Bruce Arians, under Bruce Arians, that team was sub-500. He was the worst turnover thing you see in the league. Double anybody else. Like, there wasn't anybody turning the ball over like that. And if you think that's an ability Sean Payton has, I would caution you that I'm guessing the turnovers are coming. I'm guessing with pressure, you're going, like, it's not going to look like that game on Sunday for Jameis Winston every week.
I don't know if Payton has that ability. What I'm saying is, if there's a coach that has that ability, I believe it to be Sean Payton.
If there's a coach, I would say he's in Buffalo because that's the guy who actually did it last year.
I think you guys are overthinking this. Jameis Winston threw 30 interceptions in 2019 on the Bucs. And you know what he did in 2020? He got LASIK. Now he can actually see. This is a different quarterback.
Are we buying that? I keep hearing that.
Man, a lot of people are,
Dan. Wouldn't
you buy
that more than coaching?
He literally said in college, like, he couldn't see, like, everything was blurry. I think he said that on Hard Knocks,
right?
He
didn't need to say it. Every time he got a first down or ran a play, he was squinting at the sidelines trying to see. It was very obvious. And, Dan, when you're talking about the difference between Bruce Arians and Sean Payton, they're both really good coaches. They're both Super Bowl winners. Why not LASIK as an explanation?
Dan, who would you rather have, Jameis Winston or Tua?
Wow.
Who would you rather have?
I don't know. I just asked Tony back here, and I was just like, ugh. Granted, I was saying last year, I think Jameis is better than people give him credit for, as we saw in week one. But I don't I don't want to answer the question.
Man, don't. I care about
so
you.
So you threw it at Dan.
Are we convinced Peyton is that good of a coach?
Wow. I like your question. A lot of bad losses in the postseason on that guy's record.
Terrible losses.
As a favorite. Ooh. Bad stuff. Now, he's gotten hosed by some calls, but that doesn't explain everything.
Would you rather have Brian Flores or Sean Payton?
Wow. I would rather have Sean Payton.
Which do you guys think, I don't know why you would do what you just did there, Homer, apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
People have been praising Brian Flores for three seasons. And then we were just having the conversation, is Sean Payton actually good?
So they've been praising Sean Payton for 15 seasons.
I mean, people could say Brian Flores won that game last week.
Looks like Billy's choosing Brian Flores.
The way he handled that Xavien Howard thing, everybody thought he was gone. Who makes a big play at the end? Xavien Howard. People didn't think he was even going to be on this team.
One thing that we should have checked yesterday in tossing out Tua's record, and that's what Greg and Sugats were doing, that record is games that Tua started. Yeah, it's not games that Tua finished. You're adding at least two games where Ryan Fitzpatrick won Tua a game and added to that record. Then again, I should remind the audience, I love Tua as my own son. He's my favorite quarterback in the league. I would never disparage him, but if you're going to say 8-3, it's actually closer to 6-5.
But don't disparage him. You will get the masses.
If he finishes those games.
Wait, what are you're attaching a couple of losses to Tua in games that they won?
Yeah, because they won because of Ryan Fitzpatrick, or some other people would say that.
The closer.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick wins that Raiders game.
Respectful people would say something
less
like that.
Me, never.
Well, then you'd have to give Tua the win when he came in and threw two passes and they won 24-0.
Boom!
When it boom
7-5.
I don't think I do. Although I love him, sure.
Like your son.
If I were to make the analysis for what it is that we're talking about, you have to be right, okay? And what you guys are saying, I don't want to be skeptical of it, because if he actually couldn't see and can now see, that would be a discernible difference in those turnovers, if that's a real thing. If you guys believe that after, and you're allowed to believe it, after all the investments they make at this position, it was just overlooked. Hey, our quarterback's blind. He's thrown 30 interceptions. With all the testing they do in that sport, nobody knew. Hey, our quarterback doesn't know when he's throwing it to their team and doesn't know when he's throwing it to our team.
Did you just give us permission to believe that?
Giving you permission. Because I don't want to reject it. If Jameis Winston is indeed a quarterback who could throw only five interceptions this year because Sean Payton or LASIK or whatever, I'd be willing to believe, okay, he couldn't see before. If they can indeed get him from 30 to 5 or 30 to even single digits, I would say, maybe it was that for the Bucs, before they got Tom Brady, they were playing a blind man at quarterback and nobody noticed it.
We actually had Chris Sims on. He was a Buck and a Titan. He said the first time he ever got his eyes checked was by the Tennessee Titans. And remember, the Bucs had a decision to make. Mariota or Winston. The Titans ended up with Mariota. Boom. The Bucs don't test for vision.
They dropped the buck.
I don't think that's a thing.
What?
They dropped the buck?
That was a terrible joke.
You pass the buck or the buck stops here.
Yeah, the buck stops here. Yep, yep. I don't want to blame anyone. I won't blame anyone. It's on me. I should have corrected myself. But my mom did die and Chris Cody fed me that line.
I was so hoping that he was going to spell relax wrong.
Juju and Cortez, you guys have to cut up how proud Stugatz was of that joke. Just isolate on him after he made the joke and how he swivels out of his chair and then just flexed at the shipping container. He was so
That's
proud.
That's fucked up, man.
He was so proud of that joke.
Dropping the bucket is, I think, what I meant.
I bucked up is what I meant. Dan Le Batard.
I haven't told you guys that on my honeymoon in Africa, the hot air balloon caught fire.
What?
Yes.
What?
Stugatz.
There are animals beneath you.
Jesus.
Animals that can eat you. And I look up and the balloon itself has a hole that is growing because it is on fire. And the guy seemed like it wasn't the scariest thing
That's
in the world.
Key. It's like looking at the flight attendant, making sure if they're not panicked, you're good.
And they were not panicked, but we absolutely did crash land near some dung.
But the basket ended up sideways, just sort of spilling us out into the African plain. Yes. The basket's supposed to land flat. It did not land flat. It landed and then went to its side and spit us out. And my head ended up near some fresh animal dung of some sort.
When does poop graduate to dung?
When you're in the African plain.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
The pandemic, awful as it has been for all of us, has birthed a couple of things that will endure beyond the pandemic. Zoom. Last night you saw Versus again, Fat Joe and Ja Rule. These are things that are going to be popular for a while. What are the big winners from the pandemic? Guillermo, put it on the poll at Le Batard Show. Bigger pandemic winner, Zoom or Versus?
Tiger King.
Billionaires.
Billionaires are a different category.
But they're always winning.
No, yes, they are. But they've never won more than they have recently. Tony, Juju, can you guys give me? I did not see what was happening. I just see every time they do one of these things, people are buzzing. I saw now that Jermaine Dupri was asking for Diddy, and Diddy's like, no one makes me do that except Dre.
Right.
The only Jermaine Dupri story that I have for you, I can't even believe Jermaine Dupri. He must be the Stugatz of the rap world in terms of delusional confidence. Like, what are you doing going at Diddy with your resume? The only story I can tell you about Jermaine Dupri is being at Mokai or some equivalent around here one time at a Super Bowl party, coming around the corner and running into Shaquille O'Neal, who had Jermaine Dupri on his right shoulder, sitting on his right shoulder like a parrot.
Come on.
I'm not kidding you. Just sitting there like he was walking around. He was walking around the bar that way. How small is Jermaine Dupri? It's my only Jermaine Dupri story.
He's listed as 5'4".
Yeah. JD made, partially with the Welcome to Atlanta song, kind of made throwback jerseys, oversized throwback jerseys cool. And everyone thought he just ordered a big one. That was a normal sized jersey. And everyone just started wearing the oversized ones. I think he owes his entire career, basically. I'm reading Damon John's Founding FUBU book, which is I'm listening to it, but it's a good read. Real right. page turner.
Mm-hmm.
And Damon John couldn't make a tour as a backup dancer, and JD took his slot because Damon John was just hustling, working at the Red Lobster. And because of that, we have JD now calling out Diddy.
Give me what happened last night. A lot of people like to make fun of Ja Rule. Ja Rule had a hell of a run.
Not only did he have a hell of a run, he had a hell of a versus. Juju, I know that we watched it pretty intently, and there was like 500,000 people that were watching at one point, which is crazy because they sell out stadiums and stuff. So Juju and I have a confession to make. Well, I really have a confession to make. And not that, again, salute to Terror Squad, salute to Fat Joe, Joey Crack. On a recent episode of Mystery Crate, and Juju may want to step away from this, I claimed, again, slanderously, that Fat Joe has Beijing in his beard. Because it's too perfect. It never moves. It's like, it's so excellent, right? It was perfect during the show.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Does Fat Joe have Beijing in his beard?
Also, put it on the poll. Salute to Joey Crack and Terror Squad.
Yes. Yes or no? And the answer should be yes and yes. Juju, what was your favorite part from was it Ja Rule taking off his shirt because he still looks ripped after? How old is Ja Rule, by the way? Does anybody know? He's 40s.
I'm on it. That was definitely not my favorite part. Salute to Ja Rule, but I did not enjoy that part. Also, salute to JD. He got hits. I think y'all underestimating JD. Who can forget about the Brat? Who can forget about Criss Cross? Who can forget about these timeless hits he's put in the world? Franchise.
Franchise boys. I forgot about them.
Come on, Diddy, get your check right. Salute to Diddy. But back to Fat Joe. Fat Joe, he pretty much lost the whole shebang. It was terrible for Fat Joe. Salute to the Terror Squad. But it was terrible.
Put it on the poll again, Guillermo. Salute to the Terror Squad.
I was at a VMAs where there was this whole beef with the Terror Squad and G-Unit, and I was scared. Yeah. I was legitimately scared.
Ja Rule, by the way, 45.
Oh, Stu, please take a look at what he looked like last night. Okay. It was incredible. Right. Anyways, Juju, how can you say that Fat Joe lost? Once he played Make It Rain, the game was over. He brought out Birkins for Remy Ma, for Ashanti. By the way, Ashanti, still kicking, still doing her thing.
Semantics, semantics. It was all semantics on Fat Joe's part. He even said he needed to take a break because he wanted to change clothes. How dare you, sir? The hip hop guys are looking down and are ashamed of you. Salute to you, sir. I love you, but how dare you? I'm ashamed of you. And you come back outside. I thought you was going to come out wearing something crazy, ridiculous. You came out in something I would have wore to the store, man. Come on, get real. Salute to Fat Joe.
We're all afraid of G-Unit and Terror Squad because of that Tony Yayo incident, I think.
Who else are you guys saluting with every criticism?
Well, we salute everybody. We don't want Dan, them salute to you also. Yeah. Anybody that we take out in the show, we also salute them highly.
But very kind of you.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This was a bit of an upset because Fat Joe is actually still putting out decent music. The streets still bump to, I sound ridiculous, you streets do. Still bumping Fat Joe, where Ja Rule is more of a joke now, isn't he?
I don't know if he's a joke. Would you consider him a joke, Juju? Like, he's still like a rap icon.
Absolutely not. He's a joke. He's not a joke. He did the commercial last year for the restaurant, so everybody thought he was a joke. The Monte Cristo's, the Papa Cristo's commercial. People thought he fell off of because of that. He was just getting some money. And the Fire Festival, hey, it fell through. It's not his fault. You know what I mean? It
salute fell to
through.
Fire Festival.
Yes. Yeah. Salute, I mean, salute to Ja Rule.
It is his fault. Juju, come on.
Oh, the Bucks one was bad.
The
Bucks
performance. It was just all the songs with Ashanti and J-Lo. You had this guy with like really an angry voice. Didn't really match his stature. But then he just started doing R&B pop hits. And you can't just... you know, be singing Murder, Inc. at the same time.
Guillermo, can you put it on the poll, please? Did Ja take his shirt off because Joe is fat?
I saw Ja Rule at Atlantis once. As a kid, I was on a cruise taking a tour of the aquarium. Ja Rule walked through the lobby. Then behind him, Alonzo Mourning. Very different heights.
Very different.
So,
salute to Murder, Inc., though.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Change the game.
So it's the aquarium. Ja Rule, I think y'all forgetting about his hits too. He came out, he was doing songs with Jay-Z, DMX. He came out under DMX. He came out pretty much rougher and he found his lane. And then 50 Cent came in and made fun of him for the lane and then took over that specific lane. So it was all unfortunate. But Ja Rule's hits was too powerful. That's a testament to his hits.
Where are you on 50 Cent ending Ja Rule? Was the end coming anyway, or 50 Cent did that?
Absolutely not. 50 Cent did that with his bare hands. Salute to 50 Cent. Salute to Lloyd Banks.
You're
all G-Unit.
All G-Unit. If you don't salute him, you got problems.
John Cena. Salute to John Cena.
Okay, enough with the salute.
He actually did it himself, and it was unfortunate. He put out 1,000 diss songs on Ja Rule, and it was pretty embarrassing. But salute to Ja Rule. Salute to Ashanti.
Okay, thank you.
Salute to Irv Gotti.
Yes.
Okay. All right, enough with the salute. That one's not a salute. Why is that not a salute?
I don't want any problems. I think we have to look it up. Maybe I should rescind that, but no, I'm not going to rescind that. A salute to everybody.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.